turn with me to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Now, I think maybe I originally had thought about doing 10. 10's kind of this, an interesting, goes both ways. I might go ahead and throw in 10 here this morning anyway. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather him and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now this passage can get a little confusing just because there's so many abides. I get kind of tongue-tied at times. One of the interesting things that Jesus is doing, and I guess it kind of helps to notice, he's very clear on who is what part of his parable or his story. I'm the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the vine dresser. I mean, he says to us in the very beginning, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Then in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, it's tempting to take this illustration of the vine and the branches and to try to take it too far. For instance, the question of the branches that don't bear fruit and they get cut off and cast into the fire. It would be very easy to take that and to say, well, they were connected at one point, so they must have had faith in Jesus, but because there wasn't any showing for their faith or they didn't do anything with their faith, they lost their faith and were cut off. That's a bit far for me. I don't know about you. That's a bit too far. I think more of the illustration is and if you go to all humanity, really. Now, not everybody believes in God, but God is everybody's creator. Not everybody acknowledges him, but he acknowledges everybody. I mean, he doesn't ignore certain people. God tells us that he sends the rain on the wicked and the just equally. Wouldn't it be something if you could drive along in a rainstorm and all of a sudden you saw a house and there was no rain coming down on it, like that person's lot was blocked off. You say, ooh, they must have ticked God off this week. Of course, in our day and age, we look at rain as a negative in the urban environment. So we would look at not getting rain. You know, oh, look, they've got sun. Wonder what they did to make God happy. It doesn't work that way. He sends the rain on everybody equally. He loves and has sacrificed his son for all the world. While we were all his enemies, there wasn't one person when Jesus Christ died on the cross that didn't need him to die on the cross for them. Every single one of them was his enemy. Every single person at the foot of the cross was God's enemy. John was there, his mother was there. Several people who did not like seeing what happened were there. And it's tough maybe to think of them being enemies of God. But living in sin, living without salvation, living without the ability to live a perfect life, were his enemies. And it was while we were set up against him, and it's easy just to go to the gospel and see, John was a great guy, the disciple John. And yet there was a time when John and his brother James said, hey, Jesus, you want us to call fire down on that village? And Jesus says, you guys don't even know what you're talking about. Mary is loved and revered as the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, and so we hold her in esteem. Some of us sometimes maybe we hold her in too much esteem. But she also tried to stop his ministry at times. They thought he was crazy, and they came to take him away. And they said, Jesus, you know, your mother and your brothers are outside. And he says, where's my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father in heaven are my mother and my brothers. And he still loved her and cared for her and said, you know, woman, your son, your mother. But there was a time when she was against him. There was a time when she did not fully understand, and she tried to stop his ministry and his work. We can't help it. We are naturally against God as sinners. We just can't help ourselves. It's not something we try to do. It's just something we do. And so in that kind of a context, I can look at those who are branches that do not bear fruit. A quick side vent. What is fruit in the first place? I think a lot of times we think of bearing fruit as how many people do you save, or how many people do you bring to a place where they're willing to accept Jesus Christ? How many testimonies do you give? How much work do you do here or there? A lot of times in kind of the evangelical church in America, that's the view of fruit. The results that we can see and count. I don't think God had the same idea of fruit. His idea of fruit is, are you growing in Christ? Are you bearing the fruit? You know, Jesus, other times, he would talk about different kinds of fruit and trees and plants. He says, you don't expect, you know, I'm not selling it directly, but, you know, basically in the reality is we would not expect to get pears from a banana tree. In the same way, good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit. The question is, what kind of fruit are we bearing? Now, that doesn't mean that if the good fruit that a Christian is bearing is people who come to the Lord, what would be the bad fruit? Pulling people away from him? Well, I guess you could say that. I think the real fruit that he's talking about, though, is our faith in Jesus. How much are we becoming like him? And how much are we growing like him? And that's the fruit that he is looking for in our lives. He's the vine dresser. God is the vine dresser. He's the one who's responsible for which branches stay and which branches go. What is the branch responsible for? Doing its best to grow. Doing its best to have fruit produced off of its branches. Now, how many branches do you know of? How many trees do you think? I mean, let's just personify them for a moment. Can you imagine a branch on any kind of plant, vine, grapevine, apple tree, you name it, sitting there going, trying to force the fruit out of itself? It can't. Fruit cannot, or a branch cannot force fruit out of itself. The branch is kind of at the mercy of the vine grower and the vine. Am I going to be pruned? Am I going to be allowed to remain? All the branch can do is keep a good connection to the vine and hope for the best, really. You know? I wonder if fruit trees sit around comparing, you know, the branches compare one another, themselves to one another. Well, that branch on that side, now he's on the west side. He gets that afternoon sun. He gets so much better fruit out of it than I do. I'm on the east side. I don't get the afternoon sun. My bananas are only so big. Look at his bananas. Oh, man. You know, Christians do that, don't we? We compare ourselves all the time. I wonder if tree branches do. It's not up to us. How well the fruit grows, how great it grows, we can't force it. You know what forcing the fruit is? It's called legalism. It's when you say, well, this is what God expects, so this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do this because that makes us good. And it's backwards. Instead, what is his statement to us? How do we grow fruit? Abide. The branch abides with the vine. And if you just abide, over time, you'll grow. And so the branches that aren't growing, in some sense, I've got to say, they're not abiding. However it might be, if there is not fruit growing, and now if we'll apply it to humanity in our lives, if you're not growing in Christ, you're not abiding in Him. Another illustration that Jesus gave at one time was the seed and the farmer. Some of it falls on the road. It never has a chance. It never goes in. The road is packed. The road is not suitable soil. The birds of the air come and pick it away. There are some people that just do not abide with God at all. They don't even want to hear His name. They don't want to even consider Jesus Christ. They never get close to thinking about it. There's no abiding going on. There are some that they kind of like the idea, and maybe they'll hang around with God for a little while. They'll spend a little bit of time with Him. But, you know, life's rough. And when things get difficult, we fall back on old habits. Don't we? We can act a certain way, but by golly, when I smack my finger like I did yesterday with a hammer, old habits come flying out of my mouth. Nothing that I just basically yelled and screamed and said, "Oh, golly, that felt good," you know, or a lot of aggression instead of the happy joy. We fall back on old habits, and so when life gets difficult, what happens is those people who are kind of somewhat hanging out with God, but they're not quite sure about Him, when life, the troubles and trials of life come up, it chokes out any kind of faith they could have possibly had, and they fall away. They stop abiding. Jesus described that as seed that would go into the ground and grow up, but there were weeds with it, and it choked it out. Or excuse me, the rocks. That goes into the ground, and there's rocks, and so the faith doesn't go deep. The abiding does not go deep. The third group of people are those who they kind of hang out with Jesus and they like Him and they want to spend more time with Him, but all the worries of the world choke out their ability to stay with Him. They get too worried about this and that, and that's the seed that grows up with the weeds. The final one, though, the final kind of person is the kind of person who's got good soil. Their lives, their hearts are good soil. When the seed of the Word of God comes in, it grows and it develops deep roots and it produces fruit. Every one of those levels, there is a certain level of abiding. Now, it's not necessarily an abiding faith, but the truth is that before you come to the place where you're willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you had to be willing to spend some time with Him in some form or fashion. I've read about people who, you know, this one lady, she said that she was in school overseas, and she and another girl, they just, for whatever reason, they got into reading the Bible. She says, we would eat chocolate and drink wine and read the Bible. She says, as far as I'm concerned, there is no better way of reading the Bible. But they didn't know any better. They didn't know you're not supposed to do certain things like eat chocolate and read the Bible at the same time. And so they just dug into it. And they had to spend time with it before it started connecting. That's all Jesus is saying to us, is we got to abide in Him. Not only that, He says, if you abide in My words, or My words, excuse me, and My words abide in you. Everything He has taught. Remember He told the disciples in the end of the Gospel of Matthew that we were to go around making disciples, teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded us? He has told His disciples to do lots of things. He said, and My word, what I have proclaimed to you, if it will abide in you. What is this word? I've been using this word abide a lot. What does it mean? You know? And the common language, the dude abides. There's an old book from, I shouldn't say too old, but there was a book from the 40s, Earth Abides. What does it mean to abide? The best I can say is the word that's from the Greek, it means to stay with, to remain. And that's about the best idea about abide. It doesn't matter what happens, you're just kind of there. The storms come in and you abide. You don't go running. The sun comes out and you just abide. Your life is going to be the same. Your attitude, where you more, is going to be the same, whether it's sunny or stormy. You just abide. This can go, this can come. You abide. Somebody comes into the faith and you're like, hey, great, glad to have you here. Somebody you love all of a sudden just drops off the face of the earth and they get angry with God or who knows what. That doesn't cause you to say, yeah, I'm out of here too. No, you just abide. You mourn, you rejoice, you weep, you cry, you laugh, but you remain. And it's in the remaining that we have growth and we have faith. I think a lot of times what we want to do, especially when you're younger, is you want it to happen quickly. You want it to be an instant type thing. You know, you want the Miracle-Gro solution for Christian discipleship. I remember when I was, and it's so easy when you're younger, you know. If you got a youth program that you're involved in, or when I went off to college and I was in Campus Crusade for Christ, the turnover rate is extraordinarily fast. You got, 5 years these days, but it used to be, 4 years, and you were promoted through. And so within a very short time frame, about 2 or 3 years, you could find yourself being a leader in something. And I've shared about my desires to lead in one area or another and whether or not those came true or not. When I graduated college and Amy and I got married and we started going to First Baptist Church Richardson, and I was, you got to understand, I'd led a Bible study. I'd been the mover and shaker of table ministry. And I'd been in charge of outreach type stuff that we had. I had at least 4 or 5 different hats I wore in that ministry. And then we go to a church, and I'm a young 22-year-old guy. 23? I don't know. I was in my 20s. And guess what? All those jobs I did, they're being done by other people on this larger scale. And one of the criteria for getting into one of those positions, I'm almost certain, was gray hair. And you find out that when that guy with the gray hair finally steps down, there's a guy with sprinkled gray hair ready to take his place. And I, as a young guy, don't have a chance. And the way that you got involved in the ministry wasn't just to show up and say, Merry Christmas, I'm here. It was to abide in the church. And I noticed that in big areas and little areas. I started participating in their drama ministry. The director didn't know me, so guess what? My first year there, I didn't get very good parts. I got to sit back and watch other people do awful with things that I would have surely gotten an award for. But you know what? I did the best I could being a crowd member. I cheered for the king as well as I could. And the next year, all of a sudden, I was getting asked to do better things, more things. And that's one of those things of abiding. And there's a great truth that sometimes what you have to do in a church is to be there. And God puts such a value on faithfulness. The one who is faithful with just a little will receive much. How many times do we not want to be faithful with the little because we're really wanting the big? But the truth is that if you abide with Christ, things come. We don't have to force it. And this is one of the statements I make the most to anybody, would just hang around and be there and be a part of it, and it will grow. You know, sometimes you start out and you're just the clamp, the human clamp. You know, you go on a missions project or something and you're just a human clamp, which what I mean by that is if we had a C-clamp that was as big as your arms, you wouldn't be necessary. You can hold something still for us while we nail it in. Who hasn't been in that kind of a position? But what happens is that while you're holding that thing for somebody else to do it, you are watching them do it. And the time comes when you're the one that gets to start using the saw. And then you start moving up in what you're able to do, and you're starting to be trusted with more things That doesn't come from just showing up and saying, I'm here, I'm special. That comes from abiding. From a long, faithful walk with Christ and with one another. How do we get to the point where we trust another person? Spend time with them, right? Know that they're there when they say they're going to be there. They become familiar and they become normal and they become used to you and you become used to them and you trust them. That comes out of abiding. It's something that we do pretty naturally in the families for the most part. You abide together. We call it living with one another. Jesus is saying here, the secret to faith and the secret to eternal life, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, is that we abide in Him. You stick with Him. How do you grow in your faith? How do you become a stronger believer? Well, you just spend time with Jesus. I hate that it doesn't, that doesn't take more. It'd be a lot easier to tell you got to do these three things. But all we really have to do, all that is really required of us as believers, is to spend time with Jesus. And that isn't even a big, hard thing, because when you got somebody that you like and that you want to be more like them, what do? You spend time with them. He says, you just need to spend time with me. Just stay with me. Abide in me. And allow me to abide in you. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can't do anything. We can go off and try to do it on our own. You imagine? The image of if you cut a branch off and it was sitting there trying to grow fruit, it's not going to happen. He says, you abide in me, and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you don't abide in me, well, then you're just going to be cut off. You're going to be taken and thrown away and then put into fire. And you notice it's God who's the one that decides which ones get cut off and which ones maybe need a little bit of pruning, and He decides when they get pruned. One of the wonderful things here is that we can know who we are and where we stand. We're not God. He is. We're not Jesus. He is. What are we? We're a branch. What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to stay connected to the vine and see fruit grow. And the fruit grows if we just stay in a healthy relationship with the vine. If we allow the vine to affect us, we can't stop the fruit from growing. All it takes to grow in Christ is to stay connected with Him. Now, we stay connected through prayer, through faith, through reading the Scripture. All those are parts of it, but they are not it. They're parts of it. You put that all together and just have an abiding sense of sticking with God, with Jesus, the fruit will grow. As we pray to Him, notice here in the very middle, He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, when I was a kid, we had a tape. It was a Christian comedy tape. And one of their sketches that they had in there was the Renko Bible highlighter. And basically what you did was you took out your Renko Bible eraser and you erased part of Scripture. And then you would write in whatever you wanted it to be, and then you took out your Renko Bible highlighter and you highlighted it. And once you had done that, God had to do it because it was in the Bible. And so they had all sorts of little things like, for God so loved the world that He gave a Winnebago to the Petersons. And we laugh at that, but you know what? A lot of times our prayer life can be like that, can it? What do we ask for expecting? Well, God said, if I ask for Him, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Lord, give me that promotion. Lord, give me that job testing new video games. I know a lot of young guys that want that job. Lord, give me this, give me that. That's not what He's meaning here. When God's Word abides in us, it changes us. As it changes us, what we ask starts to look more like what He wants. when we start asking what he wants us to ask and what he desires in himself, as we start becoming more like him, isn't it easier for him to do exactly what we want him to do? You know? Isn't it wonderful when your kids ask you to do something and it's the very thing you wanted them to do? Isn't it great not to have to ask them, but they want to do it? That's the idea that he's getting. He says, this is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. I like the fact that we sang so many songs about faithfulness, but mostly about God's faithfulness, which is right. We are faithful because he is faithful. We love him because he loved us. It's not the other way around. But he is faithful. All he asks us to do and to be is faithful. Just show up. Just hang around. I think as a farther shoot from that, what is the secret to becoming a member of any kind of a group but hanging out, being a part of that group? Whether it's at work, whether it's in a neighborhood, whether it's a club or an association, whether it's a church. How do you get to be a part? Show up. Participate how you can. Over time it changes. How can we share God with people? First, we abide in him. Second, abide with them. Just be faithful. Just be present. When the storms come, be there. When the good times come, be there. Who knows? There might be fruit. It won't be us forcing it. It'll be God tending his vineyard, who makes it grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so full of different ideas and schemes and theories and plans, and we so often forget that all you call us to do is to be faithful and to be present with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can be present with you at home, at work, in the car, everywhere we go. We can be with you. And that as we spend time with you, we become more like you. We pray, Father, that you would continue the work that you've begun in us. Some of us, we might be far away from you, but you're bringing us closer through your Spirit and through influences around us. You're bringing us closer. Some may be very close to accepting you as their Savior. And we pray, Lord, that they would just spend time with you to the point where they come to that decision where they can't spend time away from you and they don't want to be away from you. They want to follow Jesus. We pray, Lord, for us as believers that we would remember that what it takes is just being present with you. As life changes, that we would be steadfast to the one who is steadfast to us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to abide, just to stay with Jesus. And may we trust you to do the pruning in our lives. May we trust you to fertilize, to help us to grow. May we trust you, Father, to produce your fruit in us, as we stay in our faith with Jesus Christ. And we ask and pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.